Okay, so I would like to welcome you on my talk about this salt managed pixie. Oh, keep it for later. Thanks. Okay. My name is Ondrej Holeček. I worked as a software developer in SUSE for roughly, it will be 10 years now. And this, what I will be talking about is some introduction or some describing the process which we implemented in our product at SUSE. So, what will the agenda? I'll just talk briefly about what the network boot itself is. That's the easy part. I guess everybody knows what it is. Then I will talk about a little bit about Salt, mainly the architecture, all the bits and pieces we need to implement the solution. I will discuss later. I guess that it will take a little more time because I don't think that Salt is as universally known. And the last part is the actual solution, the fun bits about the Salt boot. So let's start with the network boot. Everybody knows, I guess, what is this? There is this definition I found somewhere on Google, but basically you have one server, you have one client machine, you connect them by, using network, you have some services on a server, you have some, you boot up the client, and you don't have to have any installed system on the client. It will just work. What's the purpose? Some 20, 30 years ago, I guess thin clients were the thing. So it was one big use case. You don't have any hard drive, nothing. You just start up the client. Really inexpensive hardware, and everything is done on a server itself. The thing I will be discussing today is mainly the computer provisioning. When you have a plain hard drive, you just plug in the computer, start it up, and somehow it will get installed manually or automatically. So briefly, how does this work? You have BIOS, UEFI, you enable Pixie boot using the DHCP to get the address. You download the NBP, which is network boot program, where the FTP it is executed and it's boot. Easy, right? Okay. I'll just go through the specifics little more in the detail. Pixie boot, I don't know if I guess everybody stands for pre-boot execution environment. Originally it was part of the firmware of your network card. Now network cards are usually on the motherboard, so it's part of the UEFI or BIOS. It's client side. It's on the machine you want to provision. On the server side, to make it work, it depends on DHCP, and this DHCP need to have some specific bits enabled. I've written it twice. Technically, it's the same thing, but it's important enough to mention it twice. DHCP with network boot support. You have usual configuration when you install the package. You must make sure that you add two highlighted bits. One is the server name or next server. You can either use domain name or the host name or IP address, depends whether you have DNS server or not. And the file name points to the NVP, which in our case is Pixie Linux. You can just put plain host file name, or you can add that some directory if you have it in some different locations. We will get to that. On the TFTP and Pixie Linux side, TFTP you can use generic configuration as you install package from the repositories. On a Pixie Linux is part of the SysLinux package. All the bits are installed in user share SysLinux directory. From that, you either copy or do a link to the default is serve the FTP boot directory. If It depends if you have TFTP installed to follow the links or not, either copy or link it. Pixelinux itself has a configuration, pixelinux.cfg, and there you specify all the options you have when the Pixelinux is executed on the client machine. On this example, there is one for netboot and one for local boot. Local boot is just booted from hard drive. Netboot is to install to do this network booting. You specify kernel file name and then kernel command line. The specific IP append is used that Pixelinux knows to append the IP address of the server you are installing from to this command line. Okay, and the last part is what you will need for deployment is of course some kind of boot image or boot instructions. I already mentioned the kernel. You can use the generic kernel from distribution and initrd. There may be some differences between initrd you used from when you are booting the system itself, already installed system, and when you are using this netboot initrd. And this is also one of the places which we will be changing to incorporate our salt support. All of these are downloaded by a TFTP and then executed as specified in the configuration. So briefly, fast introduction to the network boot. Now let's talk to a salt. There were many talks, just today or yesterday, you probably heard salt numerous times. It is currently the thing in SUSE. So what it is? Salt, it's produced by Salt Stack company. They have enterprise version and then they have open source version. I'm using only the open source features here. The description is taken from their part. But if you are not familiar with the Salt itself, maybe you know Ansible, Chef, and these similar things. Basically, it's used for remote management or configuration of machines. But there are some specifics for Salt which we use in our exam later in this presentation. And it is event driven. That allows remote execution, and it's automation of configuration. The event driven because we will see there when the code will be when the code is executed on the machine, client machine, we need to know somehow to let the server know that we are finished and move on. Remote execution, that's true because we need to execute from some server a command on a client, and configuration automation because we want this deployment in our example to be automated. How the salt looks like? So the center of salt is salt master, the central node. Everything important is happening on this machine. It contains the configuration of all your states, all the files you need are contained there. It manages all the network of clients and manage authentication, whether you trust them or not. As I was mentioning, the clients in Salt, they are called minions. And this is basically the managed system. They are authenticated using the public key cryptography and to the master. The communication is using usually the 0MQ bus. It's encrypted, and once you approve that you know this minion during the registration, you can rely that it's secure, the communication between Here I mentioned that you need that you have at least these two parts, master and minion. There are some special circumstances when you can run minion even without master. It calls masterless minions. But this is the possibility that you can use, for example, Salt even to manage your own local node machine without having all the infrastructure. But of course, that's one of the features not usually used. Next, all the things that Salt can do is in different. It's called. It has different purposes, and it's. In different modules. Okay, so the one of these, this is execution modules. These execution modules just executing command. They are, for example, make file, append something to the file, delete files. It does not check whether it's already configured or not. If a file already exists or already contains what you want, it just do it. When you want to check it, when you want to have a declarative, for example, configuration of the service system, then you have salt states. In salt states, you represent how you wish your system to appear. So, for example, I won't have configured HTTP, or in our case, DHCP. I just specify that I have this DHCP configuration, and I want that on this minion, the DHCP configuration looks like this. You specify it in this salt state, and then salt, when it is executing, you can be sure that it at least first try. To see if the configuration is as you expect, and if it's not, it will configure it using the execution modules. But salt states itself are mainly for description of the system, how you want it to appear. This is two basic things how to configure a system. Now, if you want to share some data between these minions and master, there are two ways. This is the pillars. Pillars is the thing when you have data on a server and you want to distribute it to the minions. They are considered secure. They are encrypted. Between minions. So if you have pillars for some specific minion, other minions can't see them, and the minion can't change it. You can change it only manually, usually only manually on the server. There are of course some workarounds about this, but usually, just when you connect minion and you don't have any support state, minion can't change the pillars. When you want data from the minion to get to the salt master, you use grains. Grains are, for example, hardware specific. Other details about the hardware. When the minion registers, it sends its CPU architecture, how much memory it has, IP addresses, and so on. And it sends it back to the master, so you can evaluate them later or on centrally you can see what machines have any characteristics or hardware details or everything you want. The thing is that because minion can change it, you may or may not trust them because you can. They can be fabricated, or should trust only them. Grains, you know that they are correct. One of the things because all the states and runners and everything, they are executed. Even though they are described in a salt master, they are executed on minion. The way it works that when the minion is registered, it synchronizes, it copies or fetches all these state files, Python modules, whatever it needs back locally to the cache of the salt minion. And when instructed, it executed it on the minion. So there's no way to change that data or anything on a server salt master itself. If you want to run it on a salt master, there is this module called runners. Runners are basically similar as execution modules, but they are running on a server. So this is the one thing how you can, for example, change pillars. When you write a runner to modify files on the server master, you can of course add or change pillars for minions. One interesting runner is also the orchestrate runner. Interesting on this that it's meant to synchronize multiple machines together. For example, when you are booting a machine, it is registered in DHCP, and when it is ready, for example, so you want to change a hostname, so you have a salt state to change a hostname on a minion, and then you have another state which changed the hostname on the DNS server. So it's written in like a named configuration, and you want it to do it at the same time to prevent some races also. So you can use orchestrate to synchronize multiple states on multiple minions at one together. And the last thing we will need in our is a reactor. I was talking about it, salt is event driven. Where the reactor is, where you have the handle, but where you put handlers to your events, and using this you can execute either states, runners, or anything what you specify in it. That's what we need from Salt. Briefly for our next task. Okay, so Salt Boot. We based Salt Boot or Salt Boot in our implementation is based on NetBoot, which is provided by Kiwi. That's a special initRD. But today I will talk about this if you want to write it from a scratch. In the Salt Boot stack, we have a client side. When we edit initRD, we provide grains and the fire events. And then we have a server side when we need to write our custom state, how to handle it, runners and execution modules, and of course the pillars. So imagine that we have a machine we just plug into the network. And we started it. Of course, when we start the machine, I assume we already have the server side configured as was in the first part about network boot. So we have our some kind of initRD. We have configured DHCP. We have TFTP. Now the machine boots up and it starts the initRD. When you use the initRD from the NetBoot or some other, it usually doesn't start any minion, anything. It just goes through and, for example, boot from hard drive. In initRD, there is some part always when you can add your own commands. In NetBoot initRD provided by Kiwi, there is a Linux RC script, and in this Linux RC. We need to somehow modify it at a specific time it will start to listening to our commands. The easiest way, of course, is just on the right place. That's a trademark, right? Insert start of salt minion. The right place is probably after the network is initialized and everything. You need is already prepared, Then you start salt minion. You need to take care that you start salt minion in the foreground, not in the, as a service, because we need to stop this execution of init rd. And from this point, we have the control from the salt server, salt master. We have a control of salt minion. Of course, we keep this in mind. So when we will need to continue with this boot process, when everything is done we want, we need to tell this salt minion to terminate itself. One thing about the registration, how it works when the salt within the salt ecosystem. When the salt minion first boot up or connects to the salt master, it will send its own public key and information to the server and just stops until the server accepts it and tries it each 10-15 seconds to whether it's already registered or not. On the salt master, you have, when you list all the salt minion's keys, you will see that you have an approved key there. And until you manually approve it, everything is stopped. There are, of course, ways how to auto-accept keys, but of course, some security is compromised. So by default, you need to manually acknowledge this key. So at this point, our salt minion is stopped until we register it. As soon as we register it, it will fire up, the salt minion will fire up an event. It's called salt slash minion star slash star. That's all minions always fire this event when they start and they are registered. So this is the point when we will try to influence the minion. And we do that we configure our own reactor. There is a configuration file in the ATC salt master. When you add this snippet reactor, then you have the ID of the event it was fired, and then you have the file which will contain some state or some state which will handle it. The salt prefix salt double salt co- sorry. The salt prefix means that it is somewhere reachable on the salt file system. It means that salt is configured to look into some directories and use it as a file system, which from where it can gather the files. Usually, all the events or the salt state files, or it's like SRVs, salt, user share salt, and so on. They are accessible using the salt itself. Okay, so we have now some file which calls minion start. Sorry. And this is something. So let's say this is our entry point. So let's say that we want to have our disk partitioned. So in this When you read, just a side note, when you read the documentation about salt, they will discourage using something like that because the reactor is running in the main thread. And when you use some intensive tasks in the main thread, it will block whole salt master. So this is just for demonstration, but usually you will have some really short state specifying, yes, execute this state. And it will execute this state in different worker thread. So, but for presentation, I just put it there. What we see here, this is some identificator, disk partition it. It is whatever you want. It's really your ID. And then there's a module run. That means that salt will start execution module with the name of partition make parts. And we added some static data, like hard drive, dev SDA, what type of fastest time on whatever you want. And then we have another state, it's called stop minion, and that's instruct stop minion to kill itself. And it requires on the successful completion of disk partitioned. If you would execute it, it will just partition a disk and continue booting. This is, of course, this is really static configuration. Not all machines have dev SDA. Not all machines want exactly this kind of partition, this kind of file system. What we can do with Salt is that there is a Jinja templating engine. It's people who are working with Python are quite familiar probably with Jinja. And we can use it in a salt state itself. So in this example, I enhanced this partitioning. I added some Jinja preprocessing, and of course, and also at the first line, I'm asking the pillar to get the disk name or disk or list of disks in this case. I have a minion, which is a minion ID, and somewhere on Salt Master I can have a pillar, which is a similar file like this in this similar format, assigned only to this pillar. And in this file I will have a disks list and list of disks I want to partition together with their sizes and so on. What will this do? Is that Jinja will, when it is parsed by Jinja, it will create a numerous states for each hard drive partitioned. It will create another state, and then it will be passed to a salt, and salt will execute it and try to partition all of this. This is fine for some Jinja looks like Python, but it's not full-fledged Python. So there is really when you have some advanced tasks like you want to check whether the partitioning already exists manually, not using some salt tools. Or when you want different pieces to work and it's complicated to do in templating. The good thing is that Salt knows about Salt. You can write Salt state even in Python itself. You usually put it into somewhere in the Salt file system. For example, /srv/salt/, you add the directory _state. And there you put your Python file. In this Python file, you can define Python functions. For states, they have some special format, which is not complete here because it's quite longer. But you are supposed to return a result, whether you passed or not. Some commands. You should handle test dry run, which I omitted here, but in essence, you can write a Python code. In this Python code, you can notice there is an __salt_. This will allow you to access to the salt execution modules. There is a similar variable called pillar__. That will allow you access to the pillar available for this minion. And you can use you can execute another salt modules. You can do pretty much everything you want. Because we need some way to call this our state, so there is another state in. For example, this salt boot SLS, you can see that where previously was module.run, I have now salt boot check existing, which is the name of the function in this Python module. Perfect. Now, We have this, but support. So in this case, we already can check the partitions. We can partition it when the partitions are not existing. Now, suppose too, that we want some modification on the server, as I was telling about the runners. For a runner, you can. This is. We need to send us because all the states are executed on the minion itself. We need to somehow notify the server. So we start. We send an event. You could send event by send event.send execution module. You see module run and name is execution send. You can add the ID of this or the tag of this event can be whatever you want. Just the form salt uses format is name slash something. Usually like companies slash component slash it's up for your choosing. And you can add any other data you want. If you want to include all the grains, you just with the grains. This, of course, we need to handle it in a reactor. So we would need to enhance the reactor with our own handler. And then we have which seems it's called the same. All the states are called in the reactor are called the same, but our machine list state uses salt runner instead of module run or salt orchestrator or something like that. So the runner. Salt will know that this kind of code should be run on the server itself. And now, because Salt Runner, the Salt Runner modules are isolated itself, the modules provided by Salt Stack itself. So, but we want to call the usual Salt module, Salt execution module. We have for this there is a name salt.cmd. Salt.cmd is a salt runner module which allows you to call salt execution module. It's getting a little complex here, but that's how they do it. And we call the execution module called file append, which takes a path and arguments you want to append to this file. And of course, I can't go over a complete solution how to do all of this. What you will need to finish as a reader's example is to deploy the machine, to have an image, deploy image. And one big thing which I did not cover here is you need somehow to preserve the your minions certificate and the keys all that which it was registered to the Salt Master. Because if you do not do, imagine that you reboot, you already deploy your image, you partition this hard drive, everything, and then you restart the computer. And again, it will start the Salt Minion, and if it's not registered, it will all again wait, and so on. What you can do is that when, for example, this Salt state is finished, after the Salt Minion is terminated, in the Linux RC script, you can take /atc salt minion under this directory there are a certificate and some other configuration files. You can copy it on the hard drive, and then at the beginning of the Linux RC, before you start salt minion, copy this file from hard drive to the memory based init RD. So when next reboot, Salt can use, reuse the certificate it already used for certification. You don't have to wait for all the things to happen again. But how it look if you do all of this? How it looks like? Well, this is regular screen from a Pixie. You maybe well know it. There is a TFTP prefix boot, which in my example I omitted, but it's the only difference. It you see it loaded the kernel. It's loading the init RD. Now it all starts, and now this is in this case it's waiting. This is exactly the thing about the registration of the minion to the master. Of course, if you will be implementing this by yourself, you will need somehow to get this data to the Plymouth. Fortunately, Plymouth now in Zumbleweed supports the multi-line commands. And you see there is the first is the minion ID. The minion ID is taken usually from a machine ID systemd service. And the second line is the fingerprint. This is the fingerprint of the certificate it used to register itself. Data you will see on the Salt Master when you are using Salt key, for example, to see them. As soon as you accept the minion, it will do its stuff. In our case, when the screenshot is taken, we have all the salt states checking what hardware architecture it is, what hardware type it is. We have a minion here, which specified that for this machine type, use this partitioning and use that image. So this is now downloading the image. Once download is done, you can all verify it. This is all done in a Salt Python. After the verification, of course, our booting system, which means that the last thing which Salt Minion printed and then terminates itself and it ended in booted client. And that's all from my side. One note. I don't know if you were on the presentation about the Project Uni, because all of this Project Uni uses Salt. It's Salt. It's deeply integrated in it, and all of this is basically integrated also in this Project Uni. So when you will check it out later on a GitHub, there are already states which handle this. Well, they are not yet there, but they will be there, hopefully next in the month. And you will don't have to write all the events, but yourself. But you can check it out and see what else you can do to play with networking installation and so on. Okay, I'm open to questions. Okay, there's one question. But it's not. Okay.
You're doing full installation on a system, right?
In the states you can do whatever you want. So in the example in the screenshots it was based on an image. So the image is already pre-built by the Kiwi and it's downloaded. But it's not like manual installation. It's all a deployment of one image.
Right. So one can rather compare it to an AutoJust installation rather than an interactive manual installation.
Yeah, it's automated, but AutoJust is doing the installation itself, so you can use different sources in image. You have always the same for all the machine you have it's the same image. When you use AutoJust and something changed, for example, new tumbleweed is published, you can have half machines old, one machine's new.
Yeah, okay, so I wonder where you see potential connection points for the future comparing to AutoJust as well as the Just installer, as well as your approach.
Of course, there is. I don't see a problem to integrating the AutoJust installer in Salt itself. That's pretty straightforward from my perspective. The harder part would be if AutoJust decided to use Salt for some management or configuration. But I don't see it. That's a blocking problem, but I see that it definitely needs some work.
Okay,
but possible.
Second question: how do you test this?
Well, this is all tested in OpenQA. We have a complete architecture about this, including building of images and so on. Even the screenshots are from the OpenQA. The project Uni, which we used, and of course the original SUSE manager, it's tested in the Cucumber. So they have Capybara and all of this testing about it. Our part is all OpenQA.
And this includes the Pixie boot server? Is it also
yes,
controlled?
It includes the Pixie
boot. Updated and has the files that you need provided by the test.
Which part?
Like the initrd.
Yeah, because it's built, we use Kiwi itself, and of course we have our own package, which is called Salt Boot, which is not yet public, even if it's not too much work. But there is these packages which Kiwi used, and it built in the OpenQA instance. We used Salt State already, that's called formulas. There are some Salt States which are provided by upstream, and we use them for configuring DHCP, DNS, TFTP, all of this. So we don't do this manually. We just this project or the SUSE manager configures it for us using the Salt formulas. And then the Kiwi is built by SUSE manager itself also, and then just we hook up the third machine to test it, to boot it up, and we test it in OpenQA, everything checks out. And then on the graphical image, we use regular slice test suite for X11.
Okay.
Any other question? Okay, I think I was already decided. I'm almost out of time. So thank you for your attention and happy hacking.